enough that we wanted to build it, that's where most of my capital goes to investing. And then some of it goes towards buy and holds or towards syndications. But notes hit our lifestyle really well. We can do it from anywhere. We can, you know, work all over the country. It's making a positive impact. You just have to find your own niche of like what asset class aligns with you, and not just your financial investing goals, but like your personal goals.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show today. I'm so excited to have my good friend, Susan Elliott, here on the show. Susan is an amazing person and a wonderful, amazing, accomplished investor. And Susan, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Suja.
Awesome. So everyone, after a decade spent as a whitewater kayak guide and engineer, Susan had her own financial breakthrough that led her to real estate investing. Finding her freedom further sucked away as a landlord, she transitioned into notes, specifically the value add strategy in non-performing notes. She and her partners founded Flow State Investing to help others access this little known world of real estate and the risk mitigation and positive impact potential that comes with it. Susan is committed to helping others build wealth without sacrificing their bucket list and the dream life they envision. Awesome. So Susan, you're obviously an amazing athlete, adventurer, mom, investor. Take us back in time and tell us, like, you know, what brought you from whitewater kayaking to engineering and to real estate?
Yeah, thanks. First, I love hearing you summarize it like that. An amazing investor and mom and kayaker and athlete. It's just all these like sort of personas that you want to embody in your life. So having that reflected is an honor. Thank you, Suja. I appreciate it. But yeah, it goes back to out of undergrad, I sort of was like anti-cubicle, not anti-job, but I wanted to explore the world. And I had been a whitewater kayaker through high school as a guide. And I found that as kind of like my passport to the world. And I got to see rivers all over the world. I got to work on different scenarios. And really, like, my purpose and goal and drive in life was to build and create these deep experiences that you have, whether that's like a deep experience in a place, in a natural place, or facilitating that deeper connection within yourself for myself, but also for the people I would guide and teach in these places all over the world. And that turned into me teaching high school for a traveling kayaking high school. And I traveled to China and Peru. I did other work in Costa Rica and Mexico. But all the while, I was pretty in denial of the need to make money. And unfortunately, I think that the dirtbag lifestyle of this sort of vagabond athlete, especially kayakers, you know, I mean, I strove to be a class 5 kayaker. I wanted to be paddling over the waterfalls, like the big guys at the time, right? I mean, there wasn't many girls doing it at the time. This was about 10 years ago. So it was something that you just didn't pursue making money, you know, and I think that my own brain like internalized that is that it's not valuable for me to want to make money. And therefore I shouldn't factor that into my decision-making. You know, it just wasn't on the table. And of course, that doesn't last for very long. That's not very sustainable to think about money that way. And it's also not a very big way to live. I mean, I also wanted to give back. I was volunteering for nonprofits. I was helping to get people out on the water on my own time to develop that deep connection, to do river stewardship projects. But I couldn't give any money. I couldn't give myself as much as I wanted to either. I didn't have that time freedom because I was forced to just work these jobs that probably didn't pay me as much. I decided that I needed to go back to school, as most people do. Oh, I'll get a graduate degree. I'll become an engineer. I actually am a river engineer, so I get to rework river systems so that they're healthier and serve as better resources for all of us. But I came to find that that wasn't the solution either. That stripped me of the freedom that I had developed and this confidence and competence of traveling the world and doing it in a really, I don't know, authentic way of my own self. And it wasn't an expensive lifestyle, but it was freedom. And so I'm realizing, you know, investing sort of brought those two worlds together. All of a sudden, I could see myself having the time freedom that I wanted because passive income is so powerful in that way, but then also having the income freedom to be able to give more of my time, give more of myself, help get more people in the outdoors. And now that I'm become a mother, help my daughter be able to experience the outdoors and help her be able to travel the world. And so I feel like real estate investing really was like brought all of those aspects of my life together, and has been at least.
That's really awesome. I want to just touch on something you mentioned about river engineering. It sounds like you got into being a river engineer in order to support and help the river natural environment. And have you feel like you've actually been able to do that as a river engineer?
That's a really great question. I think I have. I see, you know, the projects are really long that I work on. So it's not for, you know, 5 or 6 years that you actually see a project go in the ground, but that when you see a project going in the ground, you see salmon spawning in places that historically they've never been. You know, you and I both live in the Pacific Northwest where salmon recovery efforts are huge. And they are sort of the keystone species of supporting a really healthy ecosystem, you know, the cultural heritage of the salmon out here for the native peoples and just a lot going on there. So it's really neat to be able to see that. But in terms of like day-to-day nitty gritty, you know, I'm not talking to a lot of people. I'm on my computer a lot. I do get to do fun survey work in remote regions, stomping around rivers and seeing wildlife. And that's really neat to see the river and see, you know, how it's been degraded and ways that, you know, start your brain thinking about how potentially you could get in there and sort of revitalize it in different ways. But I didn't see it on a day-to-day and I didn't have as much human connection as I didn't know that I needed. I think that the guide in me wants to help facilitate things for people and I want to work with people. And as an engineer, I was taught to like put my head down and just do the technical stuff over and over and over again so that one day I could, you know, work in business development or work in. And that I understand that. And I'm certainly, you know, developing my technical expertise in many ways, but it was missing some big pieces there. I do think that it's incredibly valuable work, but for me, I need a little bit more of human interaction. And real estate has been a great way for me to work on really amazing teams, talk to investors, help share, you know, the potential in investing with other people and guide them through that process. So it's a good balance in ways, but I do see that being tied to 40 hours in the engineering world was felt suffocating to me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I can relate to that going to a, you know, the 9 to 5 or 8 to 6, whatever it is, grind, or sometimes it's even more than that, is it can get very grueling for me personally. I definitely felt like I was living for weekends and evenings, and it's just a lot when you're trying to have a life outside of work too. So
exactly.
Yeah. I'd love to hear more about, you know, we know you were a dirtbagging kayaker, awesome athlete. And
maybe still a little bit of a dirtbag and kayaker.
Still, you still are, yes, but you were full on dirtbag and kayaker, and then you became a river engineer, which is kind of a more traditional career path, but still something that you felt passionate about. Then what was it that kind of, I mean, and then maybe that started to feel a little bit too constraining. So what was it that kind of started drawing you into the real estate space?
Yeah, I had a bit of a financial anxiety breakdown. I realized at a point where my daughter was about 9 months old, and I remember getting a bill. We were house sitting and renting, and we knew that we wanted to buy a house, but didn't know how we were going to do that. So naturally, I just attacked it with like, okay, I'm going to learn everything there is to know about real estate and how we can get a really good deal and how it's going to work for us a little bit. And I didn't even know what I was talking about at that time. I had friends that invested in real estate. And so I kind of knew that there was potential there. And as soon as I started reading about real estate and learning about it, it was just like, I just wanted the fire hose about every aspect of it. So, you know, I bought my first primary residence, I house hacked it, converted it into a duplex, turned it into a rental right away. And I was like, I'm going to do this every year for the next 10 years, and then I'll be able to retire one day. And as I continued to learn more and about all the different asset classes and ways that you can do this, and the potential to build businesses in real estate and help other people do it at a scale, right? So that if you're taking on bigger projects, you absolutely need the partners, investors who have the capital to come in. And you all, it's all win-win too, which just shocked me. You know, it's something that you don't, I think a lot of people, a misconception is that, well, if you're not active in this space, that you're not making as much money as you could be. And certainly, you know, there's cases where being active, you can hit the jackpot. But it's not the case that you're going to hit the jackpot every time. And so to learn that if I could build a business in this, that there's huge potential that I could kind of take it even further. And I think I just jumped on that. It was that understanding that I could get the freedom back a little bit, the time freedom, you know, working for myself. And even like this doesn't feel like work. I'm getting to, you know, build relationships with people, talk to people. I've got two amazing partners at Flow State Investing. That certainly helped that we just all aligned immediately and went, notes is what we want to do. And we all went for it. And so, you know, there's a lot of the worlds colliding, but it was that real estate and investing showed me that I could get that, the freedom that I had when I was traveling around the world as a kayaker. You know, I could see that if I had a business in this, let alone like doing it on my own and leveraging my own capital to be able to support my family with passive income, it would just suddenly free up my time. And it also is that indefinite nature of real estate. You know, if you just roll over capital into the next investment, it's not as if we're depleting massive accounts that we've built up working for 35 years in the traditional retirement sense. So it just all made sense to me.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to just break that down for our listeners when you say you're not depleting, like, you know, for people who aren't familiar with the, how these work?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Great. Yeah. So I simultaneously, as I was learning about real estate investing, I also, you know, learned a lot about the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early. And so, you know, the idea there is that you are putting as much money as you can away into investment accounts, whether that's retirement, sort of tax deferred retirement accounts, your solo 401k, your 401k with your business even. So I have an income, put as much, max out all of those so that you're putting in as much money as you can early on to get that to grow, to compound. But then the idea there is that if you have a safe withdrawal rate, which is most people say is 4%, and you've hit your number, you calculate your financial freedom number, you know, the amount that it takes you to survive every year, let's say that's $60,000 in a household, right? And so you multiply that times 25, that's your financial freedom number. And theoretically, if you only withdraw 4%, you can live off of that if it's compounding in the stock market, right? But you're still withdrawing an amount. I mean, it's compounding and it's growing, and it that didn't feel right to me. It felt like you're still at the whim of the stock market. The stock market can completely crash. What if I needed it at the moment that it's crashing? All of a sudden, I've got to work another 5-10 years until the stock market improves. Whereas real estate is like, it's giving me cash flow. I'm collecting rents, or I'm collecting my, in note investing, we collect the monthly payment and we cash flow off the interest, right? And then when we have a full payout, which typically happens because most people refinance or they move on to a new house. So they sell their house and they pay off their full mortgage. I just roll that capital into a new investment, whether that's a buy and hold rental, whether that's a syndication, and I'm getting that monthly cash flow. But meanwhile, my principal is continuing to grow. And as long as I'm able to live off that monthly income piece, my principal can continue to grow and I can sort of live off that monthly income indefinitely. You know, so I'm working towards building my monthly income streams from real estate up to that financial freedom number or my yearly income number. So hopefully that helped elucidate some of those. You know, certainly you could have that an entire master's course right there, perhaps, but it's worth it to learn it all, the freedom.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And I just want to touch on something that you brought up, which is sort of the difference between the stock market and real estate. And you kind of went over, you know, the basics of it, but can you just expand on why it is that you kind of prefer to have most of your investments in the stock market as opposed to real estate?
or opposite. Yeah. So not in the stock market. And I do have some still investment accounts in the stock market. My husband prefers to have a diversified approach in that way. And so I support him in that. But, you know, I didn't like seeing, I've seen elderly friends of ours, luckily not my parents, you know, want to retire in 2007, 2008, and just saw their accounts disappear, just evaporate. What they saw and had been working towards, I mean, almost just the mental anxiety of that to me was like, wow, I don't ever want to open up my accounts and see that it's totally lost. Now, at the same time, a lot of people in real estate lost a lot of value there too. But if you were able to hold that rent, you know, that capital and continue to get some rents out of it, then, you know, you can weigh that out. But something about the stock market, whereas I don't know the companies that I'm investing in, I don't know what it's going to really do in the long term. I trust that it probably will stay the same as it has in the future. I don't think that it's going to just, you know, evaporate or anything. But the real estate is hard assets, right? And it's things that people want and need. It's something that I could evaluate. I could do my own due diligence upon and be able to, you know, have a little bit more confidence in what my money is doing and how it's growing.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much. And folks, just we're obviously going to have a separate episode where Susan talks more about notes, but I think this is really important to dive into, Susan, your kind of personal story. So I'd love to hear about how, you know, the transition from doing house hacking and flipping to more real estate investing, how that kind of like has changed as a result of your journey into being a mom and having a kid.
Yeah, that's a great question. I wanted to continue to do that. My husband was on board at first, but he used to renovate houses and build, and he sort of doesn't want to do that anymore. So that was a factor in it, that if we wanted to continue to buy, you know, do the Burr method, essentially buying, you know, low market, under market or cheap houses and improving them and renting them out, that I wouldn't necessarily be able to leverage his skill set in that. So I went from that. I actually went into short-term rentals for a while, similar to you as well. It's a neat kind of genre of the buy and hold where you're making a little bit more cash flow. It is a little bit more hands-on, but something about my travel lifestyle kind of was really conducive to being able to provide that cool place. And so I still continue to manage some short-term rentals and actually have my house rented on Airbnb right now as I'm traveling out in Colorado, which is kind of a fun thing to just be able to implement really quickly because of what we've learned. And I really honestly thought about scaling up the short-term rental portfolio too, because of that, like just getting some more buy and holds, converting them to short-term rentals and making that my asset choice of preference. So I guess to go back to your question, right? So I still thought, oh, okay, I can still buy a house a year potentially and convert it into a rental as we go. That's still doable. All of a sudden I realized I could do more and that I wanted to do more. And that's where, oh, I'm going to scale a business in short-term rentals. And it was with my partners, Jamie and Kevin, who I currently work with at Flow State Investing, that we all kind of liked short-term rentals. We also identified notes as a potential. And so we went with the short-term rentals as we started learning more about notes and as we started building our expertise in notes. And then as we started to do it a little bit more, we saw that there was actually a lot more potential in notes, especially as soon as the pandemic hit and, you know, the potential increase in supply that might come down the pipeline because of it. And we help, just to give a quick view of that, we help people who are in default. So our specific strategy in note investing is to help people who are not paying their mortgage and who want to be paying it, who want to keep their home, to stay in their home. So I'm sure everyone in the pandemic, you know, who have lived through this pandemic can understand that there's a lot of people out there that might be in that bucket. So we saw that potential and we just saw that we wanted to scale this into a business and that there was more potential in notes and we wanted to go in that direction. And that we'll still kind of do some short-term rental stuff on the side. I'll continue to buy a house a year. I'll continue to build that portfolio for tax purposes, tax, you know, all of that stuff. And so it's a diversified approach, but we loved notes enough that we wanted to build it. That's where most of my capital goes to investing. And then some of it goes towards buy and holds or towards syndications. But notes hit our lifestyle really well. We can do it from anywhere. We can, you know, work all over the country. It's making a positive impact. You just have to find your own niche of like what asset class aligns with you and not just your financial investing goals, but like your personal goals. What is this doing in the world? And what do you want to be contributing in the world because of that? And real estate can be great ways to make positive impacts and to help people out or to just know where your money is going. That was another thing about the stock market. I don't know what companies I'm supporting. I don't know how they're treating their people. I don't know if they're, you know, doing terrible things in factories somewhere that I don't even know about. And so it, for me, it's nice to know exactly what my money's doing too. Long answer.
Yeah, no, for sure. But no, I mean, I think that's all really important. And so thanks so much for giving that overview. Okay. So folks, just so you know, we are going to have another episode where we talk more about notes, but thanks for that overview. So I think for the last question for today, I want to ask you, Susan, how did your background as an adventure athlete, how does that guide and help you in your business today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it actually helps me more than being an engineer. And, you know, the financial technical aspects of being an engineer, understanding mathematical models and all of that, like that just seems like, oh yeah, you're going to use that every day in real estate. But what I use in every day in real estate is talking to people and talking to them about their experiences and what we all want to accomplish, a common goal. So in adventure, you know, in venture sports, whether you're guiding customers down, they're paying you to provide that service, or whether you're on an expedition. So a group of us, you know, went to the Himalayas in India and we paddled down the Zanskar River at one point. You know, you're all on this mission together. You're working with local people, you're developing relationships, you're evaluating risk at every point along the journey, from the drive over massive mountain passes to actually navigating the whitewater, to figuring out where your food is going to come from, to figuring out how you're going to get through the inevitable stomach bug that happens when you travel and drink sort of foreign water in places. You're constantly evaluating this risk analysis, and you're doing it with a group of people that you need to get along with, that you may like, you may not like, new people. And there's just so many parallels to that in real estate investing, where, you know, this is a journey that we're kind of all on together. And so I hope that people can know that relationships are such a big part of it. And you need to have the confidence in your team members, as you do with adventure travel and remote regions where you don't have access to medical care, whether, you know, you're taking on some more risks with your own skill set in sports. And yeah, there's a lot of cool things that I find myself drawing upon in real estate investing from that.
Yeah, for sure. That's really awesome. And just to follow up on that, you know, I've been kind of thinking about this ideas like, you know, you and I, this is what we do. We're business people. We're growing our real estate business. But like, you're still an engineer, and I know, and you're a mom of a young child. And how are you building your business? Like, when do you do it? And what kind of commitment does it take? Is it hard? Like, would you say that it's hard? Would you say you're sacrificing? Like, does it take some kind of, do you need to work on your mindset? All that stuff. I'm just like, you know, it would be important to talk about that.
Yeah, I think that you have to really want it. I remember hearing podcast interviews when I first got started of people saying, well, in order to build my business, I had to basically like not see my kids for the first 5 years. And I just thought to myself, that's not available. That's not even a question. There's no way that I would miss my daughter growing up, let alone, you know, spend that amount of time. But then all of a sudden I realize I'm working a 40-hour job, or 30 to 40-hour job, but I wake up at 4:30 and I do 2 hours of work before I do a little bit at lunch, and then I do a little bit at dinner time, and I work on the weekends. And that sounds like a lot. It sounds like I'm sacrificing. I'm glad you used that word, because I hear that word from people. Well, what, you have to be sacrificing something, but you just list your priorities. What are your priorities? My family, my own health, you know, getting out, doing adventures, doing my own, you know, that's sanity, that's health, building my business, my job, you know, doing good work as an engineer. And I just make all four of those things happen. You know, sometimes I have to say no to other social invitations. Luckily that there wasn't too much of that in 2020. But, you know, I find myself surprisingly happy on a day-to-day basis, because it's the present moment that I want to be happy. I'm working my butt off to be able to do this because I know the potential. I believe in it. And I know that it won't be forever. And I know that I'm still giving as much of myself to these other priorities that I have in my life. But it takes the time to identify those and really see what you're doing with your time. Really, you know, maybe that means write down every hour that you're spending for a whole week and see which hours you don't need to be doing certain things, right? And you find time for it. If it's a priority, you find time for it. And if you love it, it doesn't feel like it's grueling, basically.
For sure. Yeah, there's just so much there. So we'll have to maybe do another episode just on that last answer.
Work-life balance. Yeah, the mindset of, because I think everybody, even if you have a 40-hour job and you're not trying to scale a real estate business as I am, as you are, your investing should be treated as a business and you should carve out time for it, but it should be fun. Mm-hmm. And it should be, you should get excited when you, you know, make another investment because you know the potential, you know what you're doing, and you know what you're doing for your future self and your present self. Like when you get those monthly checks in the mail, it's pretty awesome. So it should be fun and we should all treat it like a business. So I think it really applies to everybody, all your listeners, I bet.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you, Susan, so much for coming on the show, and we'll have to have you on again very soon. Why don't you take a moment and tell the listeners how they can get a hold of you and anything else you'd like to share?
Sure. I love talking to people about note investing or just any of this, anything that aligns with you. Shoot me an email. I'm susan@flowstateinvesting.com. You can sign up for our investor circle and get more info about potentially getting your money working in note investments. You can also find me on Instagram and Facebook. My personal Instagram is @SheSeeksFlow, but Flow State Investing is all over there as well. So yeah, reach out to me. Don't hesitate. Always open to chat.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure Susan's contact info is in the show notes, and everyone make sure to reach out to Susan. She's totally awesome. Thanks, Susan. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Thanks, Suji. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com. For tons of free educational content to further your success.